I'd like a few words with you on John chapter 1 and verse 29 and also verse 36. John chapter 1, verse 29 and verse 36. This is John the Baptist speaking to his disciples, and he preaches this sermon. It's a very short sermon. He preaches it on two consecutive days. And this is what he says. Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The next day, John 1, verse 36, he saw Jesus passing by. He said, look, the Lamb of God. What I want to concentrate on in these few minutes is, look, the Lamb of God. I'm well aware that in this passage, in this text, especially in verse 29, there is an issue which is much debated. I'm talking about taking away the sin of the world. And the debate is whether we're talking about what's known as general redemption, Christ dying for all sinners, or whether there is this matter of particular redemption, Christ dying for the elect. Now, I don't want to enter into that debate in this short discussion and talk with you now. I'm not running away from it at all. I assure you of that. In fact, I invite you, if you wish to see my full arguments on this matter, to read a book I've written on it, Particular Redemption and the Free Offer. Particular Redemption and the Free Offer. You can see it in book form, you can read it in Kindle form, and that will give you my full argument. Also, the Gospel Offer is free, also has something to say on the subject. I would just say this. Whatever view you take about the sin of the world here, you have to bear in mind that John does not say, behold the Lamb of God who provides salvation for the whole world, or who makes it possible that all the world should be saved. Whatever you come to, whatever view you come to on the sin of the world, remember John says that Jesus actually takes it away. He actually bears away the sin of the world. In other words, it's not just a possible redemption that we're talking about, a provisional redemption. It's a guaranteed, absolute, full redemption. All for whom Jesus died. All of them have their sins borne away, carried away by Jesus Christ. I'll say no more about it here. As I said, my books will say more. But I will just leave that point by pointing out that John was a Jew, and he was addressing Jews, and in company with several other scriptures, it's necessary at this stage for these Jews to realize that the conditions of the Old Covenant, when God's blessing was largely confined to Israel, has now broken out into all nations, every tongue, kindred, nation, people. And salvation now has gone to the world. And Jesus is the only Savior of sinners. Buddha, Islam, Muhammad, oh, you name it. None of these can save. Jesus Christ is the only Redeemer of sinners. And that's all I'm going to say on this matter as I come to what I want to say. Takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ is the only Redeemer. And all for whom he died are everlastingly perfected and saved. But as I say, the main point here for me in this little talk is, look, the Lamb of God. Look, the Lamb of God. Now, I have mentioned that John was a Jew, and these disciples were Jews. Therefore, they had no need of any explanation of this picture that John was painting here. When he said, Lamb of God, they knew immediately what he was talking about. Every morning, every evening, throughout every day of every week, at special times in the year, sacrifice after sacrifice was offered in the Jewish system. In the Old Covenant, under the law, the priests were forever sacrificing. Have you ever thought, my friend, that in the Jewish religion, it must have been like a slaughterhouse? The animals, the blood, the burning flesh, the sacrifices being offered, the blood that was shed, the smokes, the billowing smoke ascending to heaven. These men knew instinctively, immediately, what John was talking about. The Lamb of God, and they would have immediately thought of the great sacrifice. Now, the truth is, the Jews of the Old Testament, those of them who were spiritual, realized that though God had established the Old Covenant, those sacrifices were useless. That's not my word. Is God's word. The law was weak. That's not my word. It's Paul's word. It's God's word. Obsolete. Useless. Weak. The writer of the Hebrews puts his finger on it. The thinking Jews, the spiritual Jews, would have realized that right at the heart of the Old Covenant, there was an inbuilt contradiction, that these sacrifices were useless. Why? Because if they had been effectual, once one of them had been offered, there would have been no need for any other sacrifice. The very fact that they had to be repeated morning and evening, week in, week out, new moon in, new moon out, Yom Kippur, and all the rest, proved that though they were instituted by God, they were ineffective. They did not actually save anybody. But they also saw, these spiritual Jews, that in these shadows, in these pictures, God was telling them, one day I will send my final, complete, and only sacrifice. And when John says, Behold the Lamb of God, these men realized that here in their midst, walking among them, was this great final sacrifice. Now, whether they fully comprehended it that day, I cannot say. Judging by their misunderstanding of things, I think it only dawned on them slowly, but it dawned on them after the resurrection. And then they could see fully that this was the great sacrifice, the Lamb of God, to take away sin. He only offered one sacrifice. He did not sacrifice a lamb, he sacrificed himself. He was priest and offering. And by one offering, he hath perfected forever all who are being made holy, all who are being saved by him. Some did realize it. John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, predicted that John would be the forerunner of this great Redeemer. Simeon, taking up the baby Jesus in his arms, realized that this is the one that they've been looking for. This was the salvation of Israel. And of course, the New Testament is full of it. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He who the just was put to death for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What am I saying, my friend? You who are listening to me now, you fall into one of two groups, one of two classes. You are either trusting Christ and therefore saved and washed from your sins, washed in his precious blood and righteous in his perfections, or else you are not. And if you are not, you are under condemnation, the condemnation of God. And if you die like that, it will be everlasting torment and the wrath of God. So why am I speaking to you? I want to do exactly what John the Baptist did, and I do it to you now. Unbelieving friend, look, behold the Lamb of God. Look to Jesus. I want to tell you he can save you from your sins. I go further. I tell you he will save you from your sins if you look to him. And therefore I go further still. I invite you, look. I go further still and I command you, look. There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life for a look for thee. Then look, look, look. If you look to yourself, if you look to the church, if you look to priests and pastors, if you look to observances and rites and ceremonies, you will find utter and complete ruin and disappointment. Look to Jesus. Look, behold, Christ, the Lamb of God. Take him, receive him as your Savior. And then you will be able to say, not only did he take away the sin of the world, whatever that may mean, but he took away my sin. You will say with the Apostle Paul the Apostle, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, yes, but thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he has saved me from my sins. Dear friend, you can know that now if you look to Jesus. And believing friend, you have looked to Jesus, and your sins are washed away. But does Satan sometimes come and tempt you and remind you of the way you're sinning now and falling short and failing? And it gets you down, doesn't it? It brings you low and depressed. It takes away your assurance and makes you afraid. Ah, you're making a dreadful mistake. You're looking at yourself, aren't you? You're looking at your sins, aren't you? You're looking at others, aren't you? What does my text say? Look. Where? There. Where? To Jesus. You see, Hebrews tells us, he has perfected forever those who trust him. Ephesians 5 tells us there is no wrinkle, spot, or stain, or any such thing. Satan has reminded you of your sins, and they are real, I know. But you know how God sees you? He sees you in this Lamb of God. Therefore, he sees you as the Lamb of God, perfect. Satan may tempt you to think you will be cut off from God. No, for Jesus said, Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken, my dear brother and sister, so that you will never be forsaken. Don't let Satan take your eyes off of Christ. Do you lack assurance? You see your weakness. You see your ignorance and your failure. You start lacking assurance. You see the mistake again? You're looking at self. You're looking at your feelings. Look to Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. Look. You looked, looked, looked. There's life for a look. There's assurance for a look. Do you want to be holy? Then look to Jesus. Do you want to be spiritually minded? Look to Jesus. Do you want to enjoy this Christian experience? Then look to Jesus. Do you want strength in temptation? Do you want strength and encouragement when things go wrong in trials and difficulties? Look to Jesus. Peter looked at the water. He looked at the wind, he felt it, and he began to sink. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Am I making it up? No, I'm not. I am just repeating what John the Baptist said 2,000 years ago. He being dead yet speaks. Is he speaking to you now, even as I address you? What is he saying to you? What am I saying to you? Look, look to Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. Believer, unbeliever, whatever your condition, looking to Jesus is saving, sanctifying, satisfying, sweetening. My sins, not in part, were nailed to his cross. Not in part, but the whole. Even so, then, I can say, it is well. It is well with my soul. So there it is. I give you the words of John the Baptist again. Behold, the Lamb of God. He who cried, it is finished. Give up your trying. Give up your fears. Give up your doubts. Look, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world.